I just want to thank God for Marty, our senior pastor, who gave me this opportunity to speak a message today. And I'm also so very glad that we get a chance to experience what I'll be talking about today. God has done amazing things through us. But today's message, if you don't get the essence of it through what I talk about, if I'm not clear enough, it is about realizing no matter where we are, God is not finished with us yet. He still has more in store for us. So with that, I will just be transparent with you and let you know that I have a confession to make. I know. My confession is I have a tendency to play it safe. I do. And so I'm so glad that John Ortberg started this series with Peter, because I am a cheerleader for Peter. When Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter spoke up quickly and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ." I was saying, "Go, Peter, go." When Peter walked on the water while the other ones were still in the boat, and he walked out to Jesus, and he's out there and others are watching him, I'm saying, "Go, Peter, go." And I even was cheering for Peter when Jesus rescued him from the water, got him back into the boat. I'm still cheering for Peter. "Go, Peter, go." And then, because I imagine sometimes that Peter might have had a little bit of me in him, I even cheer for Peter when he's in the boat, he's soaking wet, he's shivering. And I imagine Peter looking over to the other disciples who probably given him a side eye for getting out there on the water. Maybe even criticizing him a little bit. I imagine Peter, again, soaking wet and shivering, looking over at them and saying to them, "I may be soaking wet and shivering, but only me and Jesus walked on the water tonight." I said, "Go, Peter, go." And then Peter, you remember, he will step out there. When Jesus was arrested, he drew his sword and he cut somebody's ear off. And I said, "Go." I mean, "No, Peter, no, 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 that's too far." And then, you know, Peter, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, remember the Holy Spirit came on them and filled them. And the one who stands up is Peter, and he preaches in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that about 3,000 people became followers of Christ. I'm saying, "Go, Peter, go." And then in Acts chapter number 3, when Peter and John are going to the temple, and there was a man there, a lame man, that was asking them for money. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And he got up and walked. I said, "Go, Peter, go." I said, "I am a cheerleader for Peter. But you know, I relate more to Peter in the times when Peter played it safe in his life. I relate more to Peter when he's there and Jesus has been arrested and he's facing crucifixion. Peter's there warming himself and he denies Jesus. I feel you, Peter. Not just once, not just twice, but he denies Peter, and he denies Jesus 3 times. I relate even more so to Peter as we roll forward in Acts. Now remember, he's full of the Holy Spirit, but in Acts chapter number 10 and Acts chapter number 11, I relate to him most because here's my area of stretching. It's in relationships and connections. And I relate to God working with Peter, already filled with the Holy Spirit, but God was still not finished with Peter yet. Peter was still playing it safe. not with all people, but he was playing it safe with some people. And that's why today I want to talk with you about courageous connections. And while you're finding Acts chapter number 11, I want to just share with you a highlight to prove to you I really do have a tendency to play it safe. This highlight of this picture. I want you to see this picture. Now, in this picture, the person in the dark sweatsuit, if you don't know him, that is Paul George. Yeah, it was 5 years ago. He was Oklahoma City Thunder forward. And the other person on the other side, that would be Paul George's dad. And that really short guy in the middle, in case you got a squint or maybe you got it minimized on your screen at home, that would be me with a lot less gray hair. I bring that up to tell you that this particular picture almost never happened because I have a tendency to play it safe. Now, I had no connection with Paul George. But Jeff Stewart and Debbie Stewart, Associate Pastor Jeff Stewart and his wife Debbie, they had some connection with him some way, somehow. And we got the word that they were looking for a Crossings pastor to speak at a Paul George Foundation event. And they asked me whether or not I would consider speaking there. Now, first of all, I interpreted that to mean they wanted Marty, and Marty wasn't available. Just for the record. But there were two other things that kept me from just jumping right on that invitation. First of all, I said, I am a preacher and a teacher, and this is at a hotel. It's not at a church. That's outside of my comfort zone, really. They didn't even know this, but I dealt with this internally. So my initial reaction was, playing it safe. No. I'm not interested. But the thing that really held me up is when they told me who would be there. So they said, Paul George will definitely be there. And they said, there will potentially be other Thunder players at the event. So in my mind, I never said it to them. In my mind, I'm thinking, what in the world do I have with my meager means and my meager background, what in the world do I have to say to multimillionaires? So I had an inclination to play it safe. And I had a strategy to play it safe. Here's my strategy. I said, they know I'm a preacher, they know I'm a teacher, so here's my out. If I can't use scripture, I'm going to say, well, you know, I don't have anything to say unless it's what God has to say. So I asked them, I said, will I be able to use scripture? They remember. And then they checked on it. They came back and said, Mark, guess what? The theme of this event, first of all, the acronym is B-I-G-G. What's that stand for? Believing in God's grace. Oh, you got my attention now. They said, yes, you can use scripture. They want you to use scripture, to use the foundation of God's word, because they are ministering to stroke survivors, because Paul George's mother, Paulette, was a stroke survivor and was using her resources to serve and minister to others who had survived from stroke. So I signed up, and I told you about this story to let you know I had no reason to play it safe. So now you found chapter number 11, verses 1 through 3 of the book of Acts. I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with them. Now, in case I don't get to it, I might need to go ahead and take a quick exit. might I say to you that sometimes you might find yourself criticizing when you really ought to be rejoicing? The word of God had went to non-Jews, and the circumcised believers were criticizing Peter, the guy who took him the word. So what does Peter do? Peter says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start at the beginning, and I'm going to tell you the whole story in verse number 4. Oh, I share with you a little bit of something I learned. It may help you, it may not help you, but I'll tell you about it anyway. I had this problem that when I met people who were really seemed, I'm just going to do it the way, really seemed messed up. I know they're not any in here. No. My initial thought, and if I didn't watch it, it would come out of my mouth, is, what's wrong with you? And that's what they were really saying to Peter. Peter, what's wrong with you? You took this to Gentiles, and you know better than that, Peter. But Peter, look at how Peter responds. Peter said, I'm not going to even answer your little insinuation of what's wrong with me. I'm just going to tell you what happened to me. Ooh. If we would just slow down and pause and change that question a little bit, instead of saying what's wrong with you and ask somebody what happened to you, we might have a much better chance of creating a courageous connection. So Peter started with this story, and he came in verse 5 and he said, the first thing that happened to me is I was praying. Okay, that's my first point. Don't ever stop praying. Whatever else you do, don't ever stop praying. No matter however many accomplishments you have, don't ever stop praying. Peter was praying, he says. And just for the record, Cornelius was praying also. It's found in Acts chapter number 10 and verses 1 through 8. He was praying. And that ought to let us know that God has the wherewithal to work on both sides of the connection at the same time. And God told Cornelius to send some men to go get Peter because Cornelius was praying to God also. Well, I'll just remind you that when we're praying, we're in the presence of God. And when we're in the presence of God and we're praying and talking to God, God can change a circumstance. Yes, he can. Somebody who there can say, yes, he can. He can change your circumstance. God can also change other people. Yes, he can. You can't, but he can. But here's the one we don't want to hear a lot of times. God can also change us. That's where Peter was. God wasn't ready to work on other people. God wanted to work on Peter. And Peter was talking to God. And when you're in God's presence, God has a way of speaking to us and showing us what he wants from us. So Peter's praying. And in praying, he now receives God's perspective. So in verse number 5, Peter receives God's perspective by a vision. God gives Peter a vision. He has this sheet with four corners that drop down out of the sky in front of Peter. Peter said, I looked in the sheet and I saw four-footed creatures. I saw wild beasts. I saw some reptiles. I even saw some birds. And then I heard a voice say, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And I said, no, Lord. Never let anything unclean come into my system. See, Peter and the Jewish people had some dietary restrictions that would keep them from eating certain things. So God gives Peter another chance. He does it a second time. Peter said, no. A third time, God says, get up, Peter. Kill and eat. And Peter says for a third time, no, I won't do it. I won't let that unclean thing come into my system. And then Peter said, all of a sudden, the sheet went up to the sky. But then, third point, after Peter gets God's perspective, I'm going to underscore this for a moment. When you are in the presence of God and you get God's perspective on a thing, the best thing you can do in that moment is to trust God's path. Mm-hmm. Yes, because when you look at verses 11 and 12, it says, right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. Watch this. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. See, when I say trust God's path, it means that sometimes God wants to do things in a different way than what you're comfortable with. Sometimes God wants to do things with different people that you're not comfortable with. So Peter got God's perspective, and he trusted God's path. So maybe we ought to get a little detail. Just what was God's perspective? Would he trust his path? Let's go over to Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 28. See what he says. He said to them, this is where Peter was, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. It's not what we do. Look at verse 9. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Oh, so it's not about animals. It's really about people. So Peter has God's perspective. He's now taken God's path. And here's what excites me in this story. Now that he has God's perspective and he is taking God's path, he has the power and the position to speak God's word. So Peter moves then to speak God's word. Look at verse 34 with me. It says, then Peter, this is Acts 10, 34, then Peter began to speak. He said, I'll realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Wow. God accepts from every nation. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the fact that God is not just a one-nation God. Amen. Oh, maybe it's just me. You know, I'm glad that God accepts people from Africa. I'm glad that God accepts people from the United States of America. Aren't you? I mean, this happens to be where we are. In case somebody's still half asleep this morning. But God accepts people from every nation. And I want to thank you, Crossings family. You're such an amazing people. I thank the Crossing elders, Marty, the elders of the church, the leadership, all of you who supported what you did about a year and a half ago. A year and a half ago, God moved on us to open up a worship opportunity at the community center. And at that time, we didn't know who was gonna show up. We were just gonna offer. We did it different. The path we took was different than any other location that we started as Crossing. We said, we're gonna go, that we already own the building, so we're just gonna open up a worship service and we're just gonna see who comes. Well, did we see who came? God brought people from multiple nations. The that are worshiping in the Crossings Community Center. Every Sunday morning, we came from different places, but we're in the same place, worshiping the same Lord, every nation. Thank you. Then he says in verse 36, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Oh, so that's what I could say to multimillionaires. That's the message I got when I said, what in the world do I say to multimillionaires? They don't hear from me. Well, here's the thing. Multimillionaires need Jesus just as much as you do. Amen? Everybody needs, that's what he's saying here, everyone needs. Oh, let me just do it this way just so you can remember it. It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire, a millionaire, a thousandaire, a hundredaire, or you're financially grasping for air. Everybody needs Jesus. Everyone can benefit from the peace that we find in Jesus Christ and the peace that he offers to us to be able to live this life. Look at verse number 43. It says, all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. But something interesting happened as Peter was preaching. Going back over now to Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 15. Peter says, as I began to speak, something happened. He says, the Holy Spirit came on them. Watch out. He said, God's presence and his power came on them. This is what happened to me. He said, God didn't give me the first right of refusal. God didn't ask me for my approval. The presence and power of God came on those people who were Gentiles or non-Jews, he says, just like it came upon us. Now, I love Peter's response after that because he goes on to say over in verse number 17, I love it. Go, Peter, go. He says, so if God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believed in Jesus Christ, who was I to think I could stand in God's way? I don't know about you, but I would rather be with God than to be standing in God's way. I would rather be cooperating with God. I would rather be yielding to God. I would rather be walking in God's perspective. I would rather take God's path than to be standing in God's way, because I can't stand up to the mighty power of Almighty God. But I can receive the mighty power of God and see amazing things happen, not because of me, but because of his presence and because of his power. Then verse 18 says, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God. So then, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance. Even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. That means whatever nation you're from, whatever your background, whatever your socioeconomic status might be, no matter what struggles you've had, we have a Christ connection. I said, we have a Christ connection. I told you I'm a cheerleader for Peter. And you know I can get excited. You saw I could get excited about Peter. But I got to tell you, I'm a cheerleader for someone else even more than I'm a cheerleader for Peter. And his name is Jesus. Jesus made the most courageous connection that's ever been made in the past, and he has made the most courageous connection that'll ever be made in the future. Because Jesus stepped out of heaven and he stepped into humanity and he came and he lived with us. Then he died on the cross for us. But don't stop there. Thanks be to God, in the book of Acts, he also now, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. I said I'm a cheerleader for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I just gotta say, thank you, Jesus. I couldn't have did it by myself. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me.
What do you really think?
But I also thank you, Jesus, for what you did for all of those I am in connection with. You did it for me. But you also did it for all of us. And we are in connection because Christ has connected us. Yes, we have different backgrounds. Yes, we have different cultures. I mentioned earlier, yes, we're from different nations. Yes, our skin color is different. Yes, our socioeconomic status is at different levels, but once again, thank you, Jesus, that I get to be in connection with all of those who are in this room, any other room, and those who are joining us, even from prison. Amen. We're in connection. And you know, one of the special things that we have about being in connection is we get a chance to share with each other. Here are the takeaways. First of all, keep praying. Never stop praying. Secondly, receive God's perspective. And third, trust God's path. Because what I'm sharing with you today is courage is a choice. I said, courage is a choice. We choose to trust God. He won't make us trust him, but he allows us to trust him. He encourages us to trust him. He instructs us to trust him. And then when we trust him, he amazes us by doing immeasurably more than we ever ask or imagine. Yes, sir. I want to let you know, it's still amazing for me to imagine that we get a chance to commune together today. In all of our locations, we get a chance, because we are connected in Christ, to commune together today. In Matthew chapter number 26, and verse number 26, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. As we commune together today, we take that which represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us eat the bread. And then in Matthew 26 and 27, he tells us in his word that he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. He said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Let's commune together as we drink from this cup. The word of the Lord says, as often as we eat this bread and we drink from this cup, we do show the Lord's death until he comes again. Leave today with this reminder. We are not remembering a dead Savior. Yes, he did die, but he's not dead because he rose from the dead. He is alive. And he promised that he is coming back again. After I close in prayer, I'm asking the prayer team in the rooms to be up front. They're willing to pray with you, go to the throne of grace with you. Allow us to pray on your behalf. Father, thank you. Thank you for your message. Thank you for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word, and thank you for these, your people, and those who might be among us who will become one of your people. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to come to you in prayer, that you are still working in us and through us by giving us your perspective, and also that you strengthen us by your Spirit to take the path that you show us. It is in Jesus' powerful and miraculous name we pray. Amen.